ರಾಧವಾ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಮಾಧವಾ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಹರಿ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರಿ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರಿ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರಿ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರಿ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರಿ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭುಪದ ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭುಪದ ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭುಪದ ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭುಪದ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ 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 ಜಯ ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ವಿಷ್ಣು ಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮತಿ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಎಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶಿಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಅಂಡ್ ಗೌರಂಗ नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जय मुदीरे नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 12, The Perfect Society, Four Spiritual Classes, Text Number 15. Agno Gurav Atmanicha. Agno Gurav Atmanicha. सर्वा भूतेश्व अधोक्षजम् सर्वा भूतेश्व अधोक्षजम् भूते स्वादाम्भि पास्ये अपराविष्टं प्रविष्टत्वात् अग्नौ गुराव आत्मनि च सर्वा भूतेश्व दोक्षजम् भूते स्वादाम्भि पास्ये अप्राविष्टं प्रविष्टवत् अग्नौ गुरौ आत्मनि च सर्वा भूतेश्व दोक्षजम् भूते स्वादाम्भि पास्ये अपार्विष्टं प्रविष्टवत्। अग्नो गुराव आत्मनि च सर्वभूतेश अधोक्षजम् भूते स्वादाम् विश्वास्ये अपरविष्टं प्रविष्टवत् अग्नौ गुराव आत्मनि च सर्वभूतेष्व अधोक्षजम् भूते स्वादाम् विश्वास्ये अप्राविष्टं प्रविष्टवत् अग्नौ गुराव आत्मनि च सर्वभूतेष्व अधोक्षजम् भूते स्वादाम्भि पास्ये अप्राविष्टं प्रविष्टवत् अग्नौ गुराव आत्मनि च सर्वभूतेष्व अधोक्षजम् भूते स्वादाम्भि पास्ये अप्राविष्टं प्रविष्टवत् अग्नौ इन् द फायर् गुरौ इन् द स्पिरिचुअल् मास्टर् Atmani, in oneself, cha, also, sarva bhuteshu, in every living entity, adokshajam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who cannot be seen or perceived with the material eyes. or other material senses. Bhutehe, with all living entities. Swadhambihi, along with his lordship's paraphernalia. Pasyet, one should see a pravistam not entered, pravishtavat also entered. Translations and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. One should realize that in the fire, in the spiritual master, in one's self, and in all living entities, in all circumstances and conditions, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, has simultaneously entered and not entered. He is situated externally and internally as the full controller of everything. Purport. Realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's omnipresence is the perfect realization of the Absolute Truth to be attained through the study of the Vedic literatures. As stated in Brahma Samhita 5.35, Andanantrastha Parmanau Chayantrastham, the Lord is situated within the universe, within the heart of every living entity, and also within the atom. We should understand that whenever the Supreme Personality of Godhead is present, He is present with all His paraphernalia, including His name, form, associates, and servants. The living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And thus, one should understand that since the Supreme Lord has entered the atom, the living entities are also there. One must accept the inconceivable quality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For no one can understand from the material point of view how the Lord is all-pervasive and yet is situated in His own abode, Goloka Vrindavan. This realization is possible if one strictly follows the regulatory principles of ashrama, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyasa. Srila Madhavacharya says in this regard, apravishta sarvagata pravishta stva anurupavan evam dvapi rupo bhagavan harir eko janardhana. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in His original form has not entered everything, apravishta, but in His impersonal form He has entered, pravishtaha. Thus, He has entered and not entered simultaneously. This is also explained in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text number 4, wherein the Lord says, Maya tatam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina matsthani sarva bhutani na chaham teshva avashtita. By me, in my unmanifested form, this universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. The Lord can defy Himself. Thus, there is variety in unity. Ektavam bhuta bhutvatam. Bhutavam. Om Agyan Timrandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhasya Kirpa Sindhu Vaya Ivacha Patitanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advait Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, thank you for being here this morning. So, we have been reading about Varna Ashram. This is a topic which is very dear to Srila Prabhupada, and he always emphasized the need of following the Varna Ashram Dharma in the society. So I think we have been discussing this, that why is it so important for us to follow this? And specifically, in today's environment, we see all around us that there is all kind of chaos going on. So one cannot really recognize or cannot understand what kind of activities and what kind of activities the people are engaged in. They are doing all kind of things which are not prescribed anywhere in the Shastras, and they don't even think twice while doing such activities. So when Prabhupada talks about Varna Ashram Dharma, and especially the last chapter we talked about Varnas, and in chapter number 12 we are talking about Ashramas. So he lays a lot of emphasis on Brahmacharya Ashram. So we have here a 50-50 strength. So there are 50% Grihasthas and 50% Brahmacharis. So let us talk about Brahmacharis first, and then we'll talk a little bit about Grihasthas as well. So Brahmacharya Ashram is a very, very important aspect of spiritual life. And the reason is because that is the foundation. So Prabhupada emphasized that if the foundation is good, automatically the future will be good. So for example, we were listening to a presentation by Nityananda Pran Prabhu, where he compared the spiritual life to a tree. And the tree is strong if its roots are strong. If the roots are deep and strong, the tree can withstand all kind of storms and turbulence, etc. However, if the roots of the tree are not so strong, then even a mild stroke of wind can destroy it. So same is the life of a human being. If we have strong foundation, then we will come across different situations, there will be distractions, etc. But because the foundation is strong, we will be able to easily go through them. If our foundation is not strong, then obviously it is very easy to get distracted and go off in the wrong direction. So Prabhupada, that's why this Brahmacharya Ashram is very, very important for us, for anybody for that matter. In earlier days, in the ancient times, when we read our scriptures, we hear that practically everybody used to go to Gurukul for studies. So there were several reasons for it. It was not just that the parents wanted to get rid of their children. As a matter of fact, I can share with you that there are so many boarding schools these days in practically all big cities, and sometimes even in small cities. And the general impression the students get there when they are sent is that my parents want to get rid of me. So that is the kind of impression created in the mind of children. But if you go back to our, which is rightly so also to some extent, because if parents are sending their children to these schools, what are they doing? Are they engaging themselves in activities which are conducive for Krishna consciousness? Are they serving Krishna? Are they serving their spiritual master? Are they leading their life according to the scriptures? Or they are just doing some sense gratification program? So if the parents are involved in sense gratification program, obviously the child will get an impression that my parents have sent me to this boarding school for their own, and you know, so it's for their own gratification. So that is the scene today. But in ancient times also, the the parents, whether they were from the princely princes or, you know, brahmanas or vaishyas, they all used to go to Gurukul. And The one of the reason, one of the important reasons why everybody used to send their children to Gurukul was that there was very strict discipline enforced in Gurukul. So from the childhood itself, a boy or a girl would get into the habit of living in disciplined environment. What is when we try to compare it with in today's environment, practically there is no discipline at all. Whether we are looking at homes or we are looking in school, practically there is no discipline anywhere for that matter. Few days ago when I was talking about Varnas, Suhal Prabhu raised a point that Indian children are brought up in a different environment and Western children are raised in a very different environment. But today, situation all over the world is corrupted. Even in India, nobody is really following whatever scriptures say or whatever dharma says. It is all the same. And the society is really getting very, very corrupted because of that. And that is leading into different kind of problems in the society. So children are not listening to the parents. They do whatever they feel like. They get into trouble. They are committing suicides. They are doing, you know, robberies and things like that. Very young children, they are getting involved into the activities which was not heard of earlier. And the reason is because we have just ignored our scriptures. So we have examples in our scriptures where Lord Krishna, all the Pandavas and Kauravas, and all other personalities, they went to Gurukul so that they could live in a disciplined environment. Then the other important thing was that the spiritual master, Prabhupada lays a lot of emphasis on the role of a spiritual master or role of a guru in the life of a human being, life of a child. So what we heard from our teachers when we were kids makes a very, very, important and everlasting impression on our mind. We will carry those instructions, we will carry those thoughts, even sometimes unconsciously with us throughout our life. So that's where the foundation has to be really, really good. If even now, today in the material world, when we are sending our children to school, we try to do a little bit of research that what kind of a school is it, whether the teachers are good or not, and so on. And even in the same school, my wife is a teacher, so I can share some of her experiences with you, that even in a school, there are some teachers who are very sincere. They try to understand the needs of the students, and accordingly, they impart them instructions. But whereas there are other teachers also who just don't pay any attention to the needs of the students, and their only aim is to spend that amount of time in the class, and that's it. So one has to be really very, very fortunate to get a nice and a good, sincere guru. We can say, the unfortunate part in today's world, that there are not so many sincere people. And teachers themselves do not really know what is education, what is knowledge. So obviously, they are not in a position to impart the real knowledge to the students. So going back to our verse, which we are reading here. So in this particular verse, the inconceivable aspect of Supreme Personality of Godhead is being discussed. So we know, we say that it's very difficult to understand the personality or the qualities and characteristics of Krishna. And that's what is explained here. So Srila Prabhupada is explaining in the purport that he is within the heart of every living entity and also within the atom. So atom is so small, it is so tiny that it is not even possible to see it with the naked eye. The scientists, you know, they look at it through very high-powered microscopes, etc. So, but even in such a tiny thing, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is there. And not only he is there, but he is there with his paraphernalia. So one can imagine, you know, this is, we can only imagine. It is, again, I am saying that this is the inconceivable part of Krishna's personality, which is very, very hard to understand. We say Krishna can run fast and Krishna is stationary. There's a very interesting conversation which took place between Prabhupada and one of his disciples in those times. And disciples would ask all kind of questions from Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes they will think we'll try to corner Srila Prabhupada. So somebody asked Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, can Krishna build a stone which is so heavy that nobody can move it? Prabhupada said, yes, he can do. He is Supreme Personality of Godhead. He can do everything. He can build a stone which nobody can move. So then the disciples are, oh, now we have got him. So he said, then Krishna move it? So he said, yes, Krishna can move it because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He can do whatever he feels like. So there is nothing which Krishna cannot do. So that is the aspect which is being explained here, that Krishna is everywhere. Krishna is in heart of all the living entities. And all the entities, they are in Krishna. So this is like, for me specifically, it is easy to talk about it, but to realize it and to understand the deeper meaning of it is not easy. When we say Krishna is present in every living entity, that means we have to offer respects to each and every living entity, whether it is a human being or an animal, a dog or a fish or a bird. Krishna is present in all the living entities, and accordingly, because Krishna is there, we have to respect all of them. Now, when I look at it, and when I was reading this particular purport, I feel that we talk so much about it, we talk so often about it, but in practice, it is so difficult to implement. What to talk of animals, even to other human beings, we are very, very selective in offering respects. You know, I will offer respects only to this person and not to that person. Or I will pay obeisances to this Prabhu and, you know, other Prabhus, I don't have to really bother about them so much. So we look at it with such tainted eyes. I was reading once that we see the world by the color of the glasses of our, you know, spectacles or our, you know, the depending on the color of the glass, we will see the environment around us. And that those glasses are so contaminated because of the conditioned life we are leading that it is very, very difficult for us to see the true picture. And Prabhupada says that if we follow this Varna Ashram system, if we follow these regulated principles of different ashramas, then we have a hope of understanding these aspects. And that is one of the reasons why Srila Prabhupada puts so much of emphasis and stress on the Varna Ashram system. He, in his discussions with his disciples, senior disciples, he always emphasized this point that somehow or the other we have to bring in this Varna Ashram culture in the society. Because that is the way, if we are leading life according to our scriptures. Why Varna Ashram system is important? Because Varna Ashram system teaches us to live our life according to the injunctions of scriptures. And if we live our life according to the injunctions of scriptures, we have a possibility to understand them. And if we understand the scriptures, we have a possibility to progress in Krishna consciousness. If we ignore our scriptures, if we are just distracted by whatever is going around us, it's very, very difficult. It is not going to happen. So Srila Prabhupada says here that this realization is possible if one strictly follows the regulatory principles of ashrama. So we talk a little bit about brahmacharis, that brahmacharis have to, in the previous verses, we have been reading the different characteristics and qualities of brahmacharis. So same way as there are very strict instructions given from brahmacharya life, same way for grihasthas also there are instructions given. So it is generally said, and especially in today's world, when one enters into grihastha ashram, one feels it is a kind of carte blanche for me for my sense gratification program. But that is not so. Even for grihasthas, there are rules and regulations. And to be an ideal grihastha, one has to follow those rules and regulations. In his classes, Srila Prabhupada talks about grihastha and grahamedi. Grihastha ashram and grahamedi. So grihastha ashram, those ideal people who are following the injunctions in the society and following the regulative principles, they are in grihastha ashram. Those who are using the married life for their sense gratification program, they are grahamedis. And grahamedis are, according to Srila Prabhupada, are going deeper and deeper into darkness. They are actually in mode of ignorance, and for them there is no real hope. They are very seriously entangled in this cycle of birth and death. Whereas for grihasthas, because they are following the rules and regulations provided in our scriptures, they could not only make progress themselves, but they could have their own children whom they can bring up in Krishna conscious way. So Srila Prabhupada says that for grihasthas to have children is recommended only if they are sure that they can raise them in Krishna conscious way. If they are not so sure, they are doubtful, then it is better not to have children, because then they will be spoiling their lives, the lives of the children as well. So these are some of the guidelines given for grihasthas. Then we have vanaprastha and sannyasa ashram. So Prabhupada says in the normal progression is that one is grihastha the first 25 years of life, and then one with the permission of spiritual master go into grihastha ashram. It is not mandatory that one has to become a grihastha if one doesn't want, or one doesn't have those propensities. Then one can even go directly from brahmacharya ashram to sannyas ashram. This is Prabhupada is talking about that in different purports of the same chapter. So by doing that, one can progress in Krishna consciousness. One can follow the instructions provided by our acharyas, provided in our scriptures and make progress in Krishna consciousness. So I'll pause here and invite discussion, corrections. Yes, Subal Prabhu. When I came in, I did not see you. And I was hoping that you come, because you always have some very, you know, nice comments to add and help.
Yeah, I will miss the Bhagavatam class. Thank you so much, Prabhu. You mentioned that, you know, the impressions that the teachers leave, they're very important in our growth. And I sort of thought, okay, let me go back and try to remember the impressions of my teachers, you know, before becoming a devotee. And I have no memory of anything I remember some teachers that I like, but in terms of some value or something, or some teaching that really touched myself and something like that, can't remember. Mm-hmm. And then as you're talking, I mean, well, maybe with my family and some particular value teach, you know, also sort of very, very foggy. Mm-hmm. The feeling of support and positive, you know, approach to things, I can remember very well. And also in terms of discipline, although my parents, they make the effort, you know, to actually put me to the two best private schools, actually three best private schools that were in my city. No discipline. I mean, to this point, I'm still struggling with discipline. You know, so it's so messed up, like you pointed out in the beginning of your class, the whole system of education that basically, you know, there's not much. I mean, I went growing in this type of environment, you go through so much trouble. I mean, as a youth, I went to so much difficulties just because that upbringing, although it was supposed to be the best available, it was very poor, you know? And it's just funny to point out that.
Yeah, I guess the parents and the teachers, they are not discharging their duties responsibly. So that is one of the reasons. Also, when you said that you do not have any, you know, remembrance of, you know, the impressions the teachers created on you. So it may not necessarily be the teachers in the school where we went. There could be different role models, or there could be different persons who leave an impression on us. So it could be anybody, for example, you know, there are kids coming here in the temple every Sunday, and we have Krishna Archana Mataji or other teachers who are doing Sunday schools, or they are involved with the children in some ways. So even they could, be role models for them. They could motivate them. They could encourage them to live a life which is the proper way of, you know, living, which is the right way of living. The unfortunate part is that in society today, we are so much attracted by the material possessions and material gains that right from day one, a child is taught or brought up by the parents in a way to how to you know, become successful, if I can use that word successful, in so-called material world. The parents themselves are so ignorant about the spiritual way of life that they cannot really impart any such education to their own children. So that's where the role of, you know, Prabhupada says that the role of our society becomes even more important, because Prabhupada tried his best, and through his students and through us now, that we propagate this information, what true knowledge is and what should be the proper way of living in this world, especially if we want to get out of the cycle of birth and death. If we have to get out of it, then there is no other way except the way which Srila Prabhupada showed us. On a lighter note, I could say, you said you are still struggling with discipline, so we have Krishna Archana Mataji to take care of you.
Yeah, pretty much. Actually, the part that I remember very clearly in my life is the teacher that is most prominent is my Guru Maharaj, and how, you know, he molded basically my character. Also, you know, almost like repair it, you know. And then I can remember so many things, you know, and there's things that even very consistent teachings throughout, you know, many years, even, you know, in the beginning of that relationship. And also another thing that I was just thinking, that how important it is to you take the responsibility of being a teacher and create those impressions. And those impressions can be only be created when you have when there is the proper mood have to be there of a teacher that is, you know, to be, you know, wanted to give, you know, this proper knowledge, you know. Mm-hmm. And also have access to that knowledge too. To the knowledge, transcendental knowledge. Otherwise, it's a mess. It doesn't really do much, you know.
That's true. I also would like to add that a true guru also leads by example. He sets his own example. So normally we see in the society that people say something which they don't really mean, or they don't practice it themselves, and they would like others to do it. So one thing which I found very, very, which really made a lot of impression on me is that when I came across devotees in ISKCON, especially those who have been kind of guiding me or helping me out, they lead by their own example. It is, you know, so one, sometimes they don't even have to instruct you by orally, you know, they don't have to do that. Their actions, they themselves can mean a lot. And that is, I found that in ISKCON, and especially Guru Maharaj and other disciples of Srila Prabhupada, whom I have been fortunate to come in contact with, if you look at their own lives, their lives are full of education, full of knowledge for us, that, you know, if we just can do a fraction of what they do, it is, we will be so fortunate. Thank you so much. Thank for you. Sharing this. Yes, Karunanidhi Prabhu.
Prabhu, I could not understand, you know, that word, how the impersonal feature of Krishna is entering into everything. Can you explain a little bit?
See, what I understood was that Krishna is present everywhere, as we say. So when we say that Krishna is in Goloka Vrindavan and Krishna is in Chicago, Krishna is in heart of every living entity and Krishna is in atom. So now how do we perceive this? So this is what Srila Prabhupada is trying to say here. That is actually Madhvacharya's statement, which says the Supreme Personality of Godhead is in his original form, has not entered everything, but in his impersonal form, he has entered. Thus, he has entered and not entered simultaneously. So, I'm sorry, but I do not really have much explanation for this. Maybe somebody else would like to add. Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah. The way I understood this was, like nowadays they have these drone airplanes. They're unmanned airplanes, so they're completely controlled, but there's no person inside the plane flying it. Someone is controlling it from, you know, from inside somewhere. Someone's controlling everything about the plane. Whereas an actual airplane where we fly in, there's a pilot inside and the person himself is flying the plane. And he's inside the plane, so he's there present. But in the unmanned airplanes, someone else is, the person's far away but controlling the plane.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way of explaining. Thank you. Krishna is
through
present
his energies.
Through his energy, manifests. Yeah.
You know, what is it? That verse that that from the Upanishads, that through all his energies,
yeah.
Parasha Shaktir. Mm-hmm. Yes, Parasha Shaktir. How's it go? Vidataiva Shujate. Right. And then there's more. The whole verse say by his potencies, he basically is able to
control the
everything.
Nature,
so,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Krishna doesn't have to be involved because his potencies automatically take care of everything. You know, enters everything, controls everything. So, to your point.
I remember in Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada explains, he has given example like a king, how he, of course, he is not there, but his rules and administration is going through.
He is present everywhere through his representatives or through his energy. The rules and regulations he has put,
So in that verse, I am not in them. Then he explains.
Actually, in this verse numbers. Seven, chapter number 9, I think it is given there. I was just reading about it also. In chapter 9, text number 4, Prabhupada is, in the purport, Prabhupada gives that explanation. And if this particular aspect is also discussed in Bhagavad Gita in detail in chapter number 9, this inconceivable potencies and inconceivable nature of Krishna. In chapter 9, Krishna talks about it to Arjun because Arjun was very confused when Krishna says, I am present, I am not present, I am there, I am not there, I am in everybody, everybody is in me, and simultaneously he says, I am doing this, but I am not doing this. So Arjun was very confused at that time. So in chapter number 9, several of these aspects are discussed, and Prabhupada has given very nice analogies in the purport. Yes. Thank you, Prabhu. Okay.
Thank you. I just remember a saying, several sayings. do as I say, but not as I do. That's, you know, like kind of what the karmis are. And Prabhupada was like, or I've heard another thing, your actions speak so loud, I can't hear a word you're saying. So people are reacting, and people are, you know, picking up on that, and they're not going to listen to them. And then I heard also, it was written Bhavatam, at the end of Kali Yuga, nobody listens to anybody because everybody's crazy, you know. And so as things progress, you know. And then I was also reading in the Krishna Samhita, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that you must save the children from these godless educational institutions, you know. And Prabhupada called it the slaughterhouse of the soul. Mm-hmm. And it also says that by just studying only material knowledge, a person becomes more and more like an ass. You know, so he, from the get-go, everything's, you know, the misunderstanding is just more progressive, yeah. Like you were saying. So that's why we're so fortunate, you know.
That is true, Prabhu. I remember... when I was a kid, a small, really little kid, so my mother would take us to discourses where somebody is speaking on Ramayana or Mahabharata, and I can still remember, you know, when I was, some of the stories which I heard at that time, I still remember those stories, and from Ramayana and Mahabharata, and when I read those stories now in detail in our books and all that, you know, I really could relate immediately. I can go back to, you know, 50 years ago and see, oh yes, this is what I heard in that particular, you know, katha, like that. So the parents have to take pain. The teachers have to take, you know, it says, you know, it takes an entire village to raise a child. What does it mean? That everybody has to put in their efforts. It is not just like that, okay, it, you know, you produce a child and then leave the child to grow on him on his own. That is not what a responsible or a grihastha will do. That is what we call is grahamedhi. Grahamedhi is engaged only in his own sense gratification program without really discharging his responsibilities. So, and the result is what you said, that nobody listens to anybody.
Then I saw a bumper sticker said, somewhere in Kenya, a village has lost its idiot. So they were referring to some politician, you know. I don't know, you'd have to know who the politician is to, you know, get a better laugh out of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But thank you.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.